What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This season, Instacart has your back to school. As in, they've got your back-to-school lunch favorites like snack packs and fresh fruit. And they've got your back-to-school supplies like backpacks, binders, and pencils. And they've got your back when your kid casually tells you they have a huge school project due tomorrow. Let's face it, we were all that kid. So first, call your parents to say, I'm sorry. And then download the Instacart app to get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes all school year long. Get a $0 delivery fee for your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
A Kings Island Gold Pass is your ticket to unlimited visits this year and all through 2025. Make the park your own with access to 2 years of tricks and treats, Halloween Haunt, and Winterfest, plus an expanded Soak City featuring the all-new dual racing water coaster River Racers coming in 2025. All for our lowest price of the season. Just 10 payments of $9 after initial payment plus applicable taxes and fees. Hurry, price goes up September 3rd. Get your Gold Pass at visitkingsisland.com.
Now, it's game time. Gabe Kuhn.
Gabe Kuhn was one of the great little trivial nuggets in all football bios. His grandfather was the inventor of the Easy Bake Oven.
Like a boss, the best lineman on the radio. Well, the only lineman on the radio. It's game time.
Game time, we're ready.
The Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
How about a happy Monday out there? July 8, 2024 is the date. It's time for the Gabe Kuhn Show. We are whole. Connor Dunning's back in studio, but I am Gabe Kuhn, your host. Former Memphis Tiger offensive lineman on X at G_Kuhn71. And, of course, Connor's back in. Executive producer of the Gabe Kuhn Show on X at C Dunning 929. Connor, how you feeling?
I'm feeling much better.
Good to hear.
This
to
streak hear. Of normal shows will last longer than one.
Yes.
I promise you that.
Yes, and we have not two. But 3 hours.
3 hours.
Back to 3 hours of talk on the way.
Return to glory.
Of 92.9 FM ESPN and yours truly. Me and Connor taking you through the whole thing. We're going to open on Summer League, talk about maybe a little Bronny and Dalton Connect along the way because they've already gotten a couple of games under their belt. Dalton Connect has. But Bronny James Jr., not so much. He had knee swelling that caused him to not play a second game. But the first game we'll be able to discuss. But we'll also talk about the Grizzlies, Zach Edey. Jalen Wells, G.G. Jackson, Jake LaRavia, they'll all be playing their first game tonight against the Utah Jazz in Salt Lake City at 8 p.m. That should be televised, I believe, NBA TV, something like that. But we'll be able to talk about some Grizzlies Summer League, and there's some Grizzlies just news in general with the assistant coaching staff finalized. And I got to be honest, I'm not going to spoil any of the names. I don't know if, most casual Grizzlies fans or NBA fans know any of these names, but Connor, pleasantly surprised, happy with what this staff looks like.
Pretty good.
All put together. There are worse things in the world than what this staff looks like. So we'll talk about that. As far as guests are concerned, though, on the show today, we're going to have Alan Cross at the bottom of this hour. Alan Cross, former tight end, H-back that I played with at the University of Memphis. He has a camp coming up in a couple of weekends that he puts together just about every summer for some youth football players. Talk about that and what he's been doing since he got done with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and what he's been doing post-football. So he'll be at around 4:30, 5 o'clock. David Cobb, Monday, Wednesday, Friday guest. He'll join CBS Sports, college football, and college basketball writer for them. And then 6 o'clock to talk about the Grizzlies. He had a good Zach Edey write-up. He had a good Summer League write-up. Parker Fleming from Substack Elitist. I tell you all the time, make sure you go subscribe to his free Grizzlies Substack Elitist. And if you have any money that you throw toward it, it all goes to St. Jude. He's a wonderful human being and wonderful on the Grizzlies in general. So make sure you follow Parker, but we'll have him on at 6 o'clock. We'll have the Blitz around 6:30. In the Blitz, we have more Memphis football recruiting trail news. Raheem Hutchins Jr., who was a 4-star wide receiver, according to ESPN, a top 40 receiver, according to ESPN, top 300 guy. He's in the ESPN 300. He committed to the University of Memphis over the weekend we have Antoine Hill Jr., guys like Andrew Leslie. There's just a bunch of guys out there that the Tiger football program is involved with in landing against schools that they've never been in recruiting battles with and certainly have never beaten. But we'll talk about that. Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark, they're starting to roll in their WNBA season, aren't they, Connor? Good Lord, they're playing really
well. They turned up over the weekend,
man.
Turned up.
One of them, Caitlin Clark, is the first rookie in WNBA history to have a triple-double. And then Angel Reese, it doesn't matter if she's a rookie or not, she broke the WNBA double-double streak. She's at 13 games and counting right now. I mean, the debate right now is, where do you stand on Rookie of the Year? We know that Angel Reese is gaining ground at the sports books on Caitlin Clark. Where do you stand on that? I am just enjoying watching both of them thrive at this particular moment. They've hit their stride and they look really good. And then we have some NBA trade news along the way. There's a big fish that was traded over the weekend to a Western Conference foe for you Grizzlies fans out there. But it's the Kings and it's DeMar DeRozan. I'll tell you how I feel about it. And spoiler alert, I don't know how much this changes my opinion of the Sacramento Kings. You offload Harrison Barnes. You bring in DeMar DeRozan with that team. I just don't know how much differently I feel. I know how good he is, but he's going to be 35, and he's a mid-range guy. They need shooting. They're a high-powered offensive machine. I think it makes them better, but I don't know how much better. But we'll talk about that in the Blitz. Now, I want to start with the Grizzlies in Summer League. They open it up tonight against the Utah Jazz, who have a ridiculous Summer League roster, by the way. Kenneth Lofton Jr. and Walker Kessler are going to be matching up against Zach Edey, and then you just go up and down that roster. It's phenomenal. A lot of first-round picks, a lot of guys that they expect to stick on that roster going into the future. But that'll be at 8 p.m. tonight. Now, I want to start with Zach Edey. What do we expect from Zach Edey tonight, and what would turn me off of Zach Edey? What I think about Zach Edey, what I want to see from him tonight, are the non-negotiables. I want to see him rebound and set screens at a very high level. It's that simple. If he can't do that, I'll start to be a little bit worried about where he's at, where he was drafted, what he'll look like in the starting lineup next to Jaren Jackson Jr. But the other part of this that I want to see, and I think this is first and foremost, I want to see him have a little bit of an understanding of the role he's going to have to play in the NBA. I know that he's not playing against NBA caliber players. I know he's not playing with Ja Morant or Jaren or Dez next to him. But at the same time, I want to see him morph his game away from what he was doing at Purdue. At Purdue, you throw it into him. He tries to put something up at the rim, and he scored at a high level using efficiency, but he's not going to get as many touches in the NBA. And then on the defensive end, you want to see him get into some of those drop coverages and at least be able to be hidden in some of those things. And maybe he'll be able to be a little bit more aggressive because he was a guy with Purdue that he could not foul out or be in foul trouble or they would be in trouble. But I want to see really how he morphs his game to fit into his first look in an NBA system. That's what I want to see tonight.
I think I'm going to be curious to see, too, how he reacts to not being the number one option on the offensive end of the basketball, because you're going to have D.G. Jackson out there, and he's clearly the, you know, should be the number one option for the Summer League team. But I'm pretty much with you. I'm not looking for Zach Edey to go out and score 25 or 30 points. That'd be awesome, and we would throw a parade and crown the Memphis Grizzlies as the future champions if he does that. But because, you know, we always like to overreact a bit to NBA Summer League. But what I'm really looking for is, how's he doing with the screen setting? How's he doing moving his feet? I think the Walker Kessler matchup is going to be interesting because a lot of people were saying, you know, if we can get Walker Kessler, do you need to go out and get Zach Edey? And, you know, there were discussions about could you trade for Walker Kessler instead of drafting Zach Edey? So I think that that matchup is going to tell us a lot. I'm curious to see how he is against a real NBA body because we know that Walker Kessler has had success in the NBA. So he is a legitimate NBA big that he's going to be going up against. So I'm with you. I want to see his foot speed on the defensive end. I want to see how he does on the boards. I want to see how he does setting screens. The offense, we know he's got offensive ability. We know that he can post up and do all of those things. What I'm looking for are the intangibles. How is he going to translate to the NBA? How is he keeping up with the game speed and things like that? I to be honest with you, I expect him to have a successful night because I do think he is more talented than people give him credit for, especially on the defensive end. Because to your point, we've heard a lot from Purdue about how, you know, they told him he was not allowed to be aggressive on the defensive end. So tonight, I want to see him be very aggressive on the defensive end. I want him to show what he can do because it feels like a matchup to where he should be able to show you that he can stay in this NBA. He can keep up with the speed. Walker Kessler's a great matchup for him, and it is fun that the little wrinkle of Junior being there. You know, it's the big that some people used to love on the Memphis Grizzlies. To be quite honest with you, now that he's not a Grizzly, I was never one of those. I was never really a big Junior guy. I always thought he had a lot of flaws in his game. So to be quite honest with you, I would like to see Zach Edey go out there and just kind of dominate the paint, but not necessarily, it doesn't have to be just scoring the basketball. I want him to just control the basketball game in the paint and let GG do his thing.
If you give me 10 rebounds and a couple of blocks, I feel really good about where we're at. And if he's screen assisting for GG Jackson and Scottie Pippen Jr., that's where I feel very confident about, you know, going into the season with him being the starting big. But isn't it strange? Like, we don't think of Zach Edey as a tweener, right? But I was reading Parker Fleming's story that he wrote for Sub-Sac Elitist. I'll explain it in a second. But he wrote a story for Sub-Sac Elitist about Zach Edey and his fit. And the reason he called him a tweener is because you have these, like, big, immovable objects that have never really out in the NBA. And Taco Fall and Boban Marjanovic. That's his size. That's who he is, like, size-wise as a player. And people think, he's only good because of how tall he is and how big and hulking he is. But he is way more athletic than those two guys in particular. And is clearly way more productive than those two guys in particular. So then the other group of bigs that I think he falls in between, you know, Boban Marjanovic, Taco Fall, then the other guys, Jonas Valanciunas and Ivica Zubats and guys like that, like he sort of falls in this category all unto its own. And we don't really know exactly how it's going to look when he gets into an NBA system and how that's going to morph and what his game's going to look like. Because he fits the profile of those two big hulking guys that never have played meaningful minutes. But he also, in college, showed he has the level of production to reach the heights that Ivica Zubats and all these guys starting 10-year centers in the NBA, he has the ability to reach that.
I lean toward him being more of those guys than the former, just because, to your point, he's just more athletic than those guys are, and he has much more of an offensive bag, and he has impacted basketball games in a way that is outside of him just being a very large human being. You know, he can do things on the basketball court that don't just come to fruition because he is the height that he is. And when you talk about Boban, he's a fun guy to have on your team, but at the end of the day, he can only give you 10 real NBA minutes, if anything, and he's not giving you anything on the offensive end. He's good defensively, but I think that Zach Edey is more talented than those guys, and that's why some of the comps have been bothersome as we've head into this summer league, because a lot of people keep bringing up Hashim Thabeet, for example, and it's just like, that is so ridiculous to even put his name in that same sentence, because Hashim Thabeet had no basketball IQ. He was quite literally just a big guy that would put his hands up at the rim. He should have never been drafted when he was. It was a mistake. Everybody knew it was a mistake when it got made. He never had the talent and the ability that Zach Edey had. I think that it's unfair to Zach Edey to try to put him in this box before we've even seen him play an NBA minute. I'm not quite sure if there is a one-to-one comp for Zach Edey, because he's, like you said, he's kind of a combination of all these different types of bigs. Yes. So let's just see what he looks like. I have high hopes for him. I am a believer in Zach Edey, but to your point, I've got to see what his foot speed looks like. Yes, I've got to see what he looks like against real NBA bodies, and to be quite honest, he's not going to get the whistle that he got in college, so I'm curious to see how he does with the physicality of the NBA, because there's going to be an adjustment period there, and that's why I do think that tonight's matchup with Walker Kessler and Junior is a good one, because you're kind of getting two different pitches from the types of bigs that you might see in the NBA, so I'm really curious to see what he looks like, but I'm with you. If he scores 20-plus, that's awesome. I'm going to be looking and kind of everything else. I want to see him have success in the other areas. I need to see him have success on the boards, screen setting, and defensively. Those are the main three things I'm looking for from Zach Edey.
I think his athletic profile and his conditioning definitely favors the good version of what
Absolutely.
I was talking about. It's
not even
close to me in particular. I don't have any concerns that he's going to be Boban Marjanovic or Taco Fall, but he, from a size perspective, that's what people thought of him at Purdue for 3 to 4 years.
He is oddly durable for the size that he is.
And he played 32 minutes at Purdue per game, and 31 minutes his junior year. He's got conditioning, and he goes out of his way to make sure that conditioning is good enough so he can play extended minutes. Now, the couple things that would make me concerned about him are really just sort of not being able to have the screen assisting that I think he'll have if he doesn't rebound at a high level. And I think the third part there would be, for the most part, if he's just on the defensive end either getting cooked in pick and roll coverages, or he fouls too much. Those are the things that would turn me off of him in game one. But again, it's game one of summer league. I'm not going to, you know, stake my claim, draw conclusions, generalizations based on one game against the Utah Jazz in Salt Lake City. I'm not going to do that.
Well, again, it's if he has a excellent game, we are going to throw a parade tomorrow.
Yes.
If he has a so-so game, we're going to be like, it's fine.
He's gonna, he's gonna, even if he has a bad game, I think most of us are going to be like, he's fine.
We'll
unless you have confirmation bias on it being a bad
exactly.
pick already.
Tonight will be confirmation bias, however
Season.
You feel about Zach Edey, whether you feel positive about him or negative about him. Tonight, you will have some sort of confirmation bias.
Well, now that
no
you say that, I hope he has a so-so game so no one can really go crazy.
I expect him to have a pretty good game. I think that he's going to have a pretty good game. Somewhere he'll probably, you know, put up about 15 to 20 points, and hopefully he grabs double-digit rebounds. But you've said it a few times now. I am curious to see if they try to pick on him defensively. Are they going to try to get him in switches? Are they going to try to get him in pick and rolls? How does he do in those types of situations? I think that matters much more to the Grizzlies' success this year than him scoring 20, 25, 30 points. It's, to me, if he has got to be able to show up on the defensive end and on the boards and with screen assists, those are the main three things that he needs to do well for the Memphis Grizzlies this year. And if he does those three things well tonight, I'm going to be a happy camper.
Because if he's getting picked on in summer league, you do not feel that great.
Because
those guys are not as equipped to pick on you as the guys when you're playing in the regular season in the NBA. But also, a couple of other things to watch out for. Two guys I want to pay attention to are guys that have been on the roster. One for is going on year three, one going on year two, G.G. Jackson and Jake LaRavia. I'll start with G.G. Jackson. I want to see him as the main guy. See what that looks like. Can he get to the rim, be a good play finisher, finish at the rim, add more than the three ball that he had last year? If he can continue shooting the three the way he does, you feel good about him as well. But I want to see him at all three levels get involved, maybe be on ball a little bit more. And I do want to see him, you know, with a defensive assignment, because I think he has defensive upside that we don't talk about as much because the offense eclipses, you know, the sun, really, because his offense is so fun to watch.
There were moments last year where you were watching him offensively and you were like, this is going to be incredible moving forward. And we even said that we're not quite sure what his ceiling is because he has shown so much promise on the offensive end. He's shown the ability to be able to score at all three levels. To me, what I would like to see from G.G. Jackson in summer league is more of a playmaking mentality.
Yeah.
I want to see him set up his teammates because the ball is going to be in his hands most of the time. So I want to see if he can set up his teammates a little bit more, continue to work off the dribble because he did that pretty well last year. So just continue to improve upon an already excellent rookie season that he had, because we know that he's got the talent offensively. We know that he can put the ball in the bucket. I just want to see him be able to set it up for the rest of his team. I'm going to be really curious to see, too, if there's a G.G. Jackson, Zach Edey pick and roll moment that we get, because we know that Scottie Pippen, that they're absolutely going to run some pick and roll with Zach Edey. But I would like to see if G.G. Jackson can do it, because if he can throw a playmaking wrinkle into his game, it just makes his already, you know, exciting potential go up even more.
And then Jake LaRavia, he's coming off the back end or the final games of last season where he played really well.
His last nine games were crazy.
He talked me back into him being a worthy player at the NBA level, because midseason, when he was dealing with injuries, barely got on the floor, and when he did get on the floor, he didn't play that well. I had talked myself out of him completely, because the biggest thing, it wasn't even about the offense, although he was not aggressive. It was about the defense. He didn't look like an NBA player on the defensive end.
Right.
From an athleticism standpoint, he didn't understand the schemes. And if you don't understand the schemes and you don't have the requisite athleticism to make up for not knowing the schemes in a Grizzlies defensive system, you're not going to fit well. But down the stretch, I thought defensively he played a whole lot better. I want to see that carry over. I think he's in a different situation, because usually you talk about year three guys going into summer league, you think, okay, this is their last shot. I don't necessarily think this is Jake LaRavia's last shot to show that he can be at least somewhat of a role player for the Grizzlies. I think this is an opportunity for him to really be on a stage to his own and figure out where he can fit into the NBA. Because those last few games of the season definitely convinced me he can be a meaningful player in this NBA, but can he carry that over and look good?
Right. Context matters here with the last 10 games of the season. He played 8 games in the last 10. He scored 19 a game on 49% from 3 and 90% from the free throw line. A lot of his points came from the free throw line, so he did well getting there. He was rebounding the ball pretty well at 4 a game. I am with you, though. I need to see Jake LaRavia show up on the defensive end, because that is where a lot of my concern comes from Jake LaRavia, is that sometimes he just looks lost on the defensive end, completely lost, and he got cooked a couple of times. So even though his late season performance was promising, I think that we do have to acknowledge that it was a late season performance. We have seen many former Memphis Grizzlies turn up in the last 10 games of the season. It mean nothing moving forward.
Yep.
But with Jake LaRavia specifically, there were a few things that you saw within those last few games. Most notably to me, it was his aggressiveness. When he caught the basketball, he let it fly.
Yes.
And that's what he has to do. You can't be a three-point shooter in theory. You have to be a three-point shooter. You have got to take him. If he catches the basketball, I want to see it going toward the basket.
Yes.
I don't need Jake LaRavia to be a playmaker. I need Jake LaRavia to be a guy that can shoot a three and put the ball in the bucket.
In the end of the day, Connor, I need him to show that he can be an 11th guy for the Grizzlies.
And
not
12th or 13th.
It.
Yes.
Show me you can be the guy if there's injuries or foul concerns. They can throw you in there for a little stretch of minutes.
Right.
And doesn't
you're not
fall
get
off.
Destroyed.
Exactly.
Right.
The Grizzlies' chances to win that game don't fall off the face of the earth because you're in there.
And
that's what he needs to show. And I thought he showed that the last 9 games of the year.
He did. And I think that we can be completely honest about it. Last season, heading into the year, we said one of these three guys needs to work out, and it was David Roddy, Zaire Williams, and Jake LaRavia. None of them worked out. The three of them, we can be honest about it, they did not necessarily work out. I think Roddy showed more promise than the other two, but that turned him into a trade asset, and that's why he got moved on. The reason that Jake LaRavia, I think, is safe on this Grizzlies roster, quote-unquote safe, if you want to say it that way, is because Zaire Williams has just not really shown you anything. And I think that Zaire's a good kid, but this is now, we're heading into his fourth season. He can't stay healthy. The only time he has success on a basketball court is when he's with Ja Morant, and that is a concerning thing. I need Zaire to be successful when you don't have a superstar player on the court. You have to be able to be effective in your own. And I think that Jake LaRavia has shown that he had moments of having success without having other superstar players out there. And I think that his scoring ability, most notably from the three-point line, it just gives him more of an opportunity than Zaire, even though, the ages are similar, and I understand all of that, but it's just, with Zaire not working out and Roddy moving on, it has presented another opportunity for Jake LaRavia.
Yeah.
If those things hadn't happened, I'm not sure we'd be talking about him in this light, but, it's just, again, last season warped all of our brains and Grizz fandom to thinking that the guys 12 through 15 actually matter, when in reality, if you're having a successful NBA season and you are a true contender, those guys are there for break in case of emergency if everything goes wrong. And to your point, Jake just needs to be able to be effective, throw him in there. If he can play 5 to 8 minutes everything going out the window, that's what you're looking for. And he showed some promise to be able to do that. I think that he's still got a lot to show. I'm not just going to go all in because of 8 games that he showed at the end of last season, but he showed promise. He's got to stay aggressive, and he has to have an IQ on the defensive end. Those are the two main things.
It was just nuts, like mid-season last year when he got inserted into a game when they were struggling.
He just couldn't stay healthy.
No, but also like when he did play though during the middle of the season last year, everything went to hell in a handbasket.
Well, they would single him out.
They would single him out on defense, and then if he put up a shot, it was not going in. Nothing was falling for him. And then he wouldn't be aggressive enough to actually – he had no confidence, too.
It flipped.
It flipped completely for him as the season started to end, and he had more opportunity, and he didn't feel like he was looking over his shoulder.
If you don't have confidence in the NBA, whether it's offensively or defensively, they will hunt you. And that's what happened to Jake LaRavia a few times last year. By the end of the season, he turned that around a little bit, and they weren't able to hunt him as much.
Right.
And that's why he showed some promise. So that's why I'm curious to see what he looks like in a summer league setting, because his rookie season he had a couple big summer
honest,
league games. I will not forget some of you with that Mike Miller photo that you had floating around there.
But third year summer league, I need to see more dominance. I need to see you show me that you can be an NBA rotation player if all goes badly and there's injuries and there's foul trouble.
I don't want to be watching these games and thinking that he's a rookie.
Yes.
I need to be watching these games and saying, oh, that's an NBA guy.
Yes.
That's a
clear
NBA
player. He's done this before.
Yes.
He's played NBA games before.
Right.
And I need to see that. Right. I absolutely need to see that. Now, also on the Grizzlies front, they did finalize their assistant coaching staff. Looks like Joe Boylan, who is the former director of player personnel, or player development, I should say, for the Timberwolves. He has been added. Anthony Carter, who we know was player development guy before, did a really good job with G.G. Jackson. He's gonna be there. Tomas Asalo, I'll get to him in a second because I'm very excited about that addition because he's going to be the lead assistant. Noah LaRoche, who's a player development guy, I'll get to him,
offensive
too.
Offensive mind.
Jason March is still around coaching the, you know, coaching the hustle. Patrick Mutombo, who, I mean, he was 2019, I believe he was on the Raptors staff under Nick Nurse when they won the NBA championship. But he's been an assistant coach since 2012. Eric Schmidt, Patrick St. Andrews, they're all on the staff. It's completely finalized. Now, Noah LaRoche, we've talked about him. He was added midseason last year. He's trained Russell Westbrook, Paul George. Did a really good job, I think, last year, too, before he took the Grizzlies job with Jalen Green. Jalen Green started to take off once he started working with Noah LaRoche. Jason March continues to be there. Patrick Mutombo, already mentioned him. Now, Tomas Asalo. This is a very interesting addition because as a lead assistant, what do you want that guy to do? Because defense is taken care of. I think Taylor Jenkins has shown that even playing 33 players last year with 50-some-odd starting lineups, they still had a top-10 defense. I think defense is taken care of. But if you look up Tomas Asalo and sort of figure out what he has done really well in his career, 41 years old, former player, just won the Euro Cup. He's been a really good coach over in Europe. What he does really well, half-court offense, drawing up sets, getting open threes, and also he helps put guys into positions to get offensive rebounds, which is something that the Grizzlies were missing last couple of years with Steven Adams out of the lineup.
Right.
Now you bring in Zach Edey, that could be helpful. But offensively, he seems to be sort of the wonder kid that'll be added to the staff. I want to see how this all goes. But his in his sort of young coaching career, he's got a lot to his name.
High success.
He just won the Euro Cup championship. He's a Champions League champion in 2023, French League Cup winner in 2024, Euro Cup Coach of the Year because of the win in the Euro Cup. That was this year. He was another Champions League Coach of the Year. He's done that twice, I guess. Two-time Bundesliga Coach of the Year in 2022 and 23, and the LNB Pro A Coach of the Year in 2024. So the last few years, his career has taken off, and the Grizzlies get the first crack at this guy.
A Kings Island Gold Pass is your ticket to unlimited visits this year and all through 2025. Make the park your own with access to 2 years of tricks and treats, Halloween Haunt, and Winterfest, plus an expanded Soak City featuring the all-new dual racing water coaster River Racers coming in 2025. All for our lowest price of the season. Just 10 payments of $9 after initial payment plus applicable taxes and fees. Hurry, price goes up September 3rd. Get your Gold Pass at visitkingsisland.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework. Temp check. What kind of summer are we having this year? A family road trip summer? A beach bum summer? Or a wake me when the sun sets summer? With Instacart, choose your own adventure and skip the shopping side quests. Where available, you can get ice cream delivered to your hotel, sunscreen to the pool, or cold brew to your bed. Well, door. In as fast as 30 minutes. Wherever you find yourself this summer, you can get the goods. Download Instacart for free delivery on your first 3 orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Minimum $10 per order. Excludes restaurants. Additional terms and fees apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
In an NBA, on an NBA bench, I like the thought of what he could provide for this Grizzlies team, because offensively, he seems to be a guy who is going to be a lot more inventive, especially in the half court, and that's what the Grizzlies need to get over the hump when they get into playoff situations.
Absolutely, because I totally agree with you. I think we are supporters of Taylor Jenkins, but we have never shied away from the fact that his half-court offense needs a lot of work. You know, the Grizzlies are really good out there running, but whenever you get them in a half-court situation, and that comes up a lot in the NBA playoffs, that is where they tend to struggle a little bit. So when you have the additions of Zach Edey, and then him, and then Noah LaRoche, that's certainly going to help you in the half court. So I am happy that the Grizzlies are identifying an issue that they had on the coaching staff and in their offense, and they're going out there and trying to fix it. I think that these are great. This is a great staff to have under Taylor Jenkins. I'm really excited about it. I'm curious to see what he looks like as a summer league head coach, because I'm pretty sure he is going to be the summer league head coach for the Memphis Grizzlies. So I'm excited to see what he looks like out there. Great signings by the Grizzlies. There's really nothing more to say about it. Some of the smartest people within the NBA had a big reaction to the Grizzlies making this signing, and that tells me all I need to know. Yep. I'm not going to pretend like I knew about him until a couple of days ago, but when they signed him and I did my research on him and I went and read what people said, I was like, all right, A+.
And the transition to the international game, international players taking over, style of basketball changing a little bit with the international players taking over, I think getting someone from the international ranks where these guys came from, I think that helps a lot.
Sure.
Right? I from what I understand, it's off-ball movement. It's a lot of sets on the offensive end helping that half-court offense. And if you were going to hire anybody to pair with Taylor Jenkins' defense, it seems like this is the type of guy you go after. Now, final thing here before we transition and get into Alan Cross. We had the Lakers play some sort of summer league action, I guess, over the weekend. Bronny James and Dalton Knecht. I'll give the check mark to Dalton Knecht, right, for the most part, although he was not very efficient.
What does that mean?
I'll give him a pass and
a
check.
I see what
he can be. He can create his own shot. He's definitely a decent offensive player. He had two 12-point performances over the weekend. He didn't shoot that well from the field, but he was aggressive and did some of the same things he did at Tennessee on that summer league roster for the Lakers. So I'll give him the pass. Bronny James, that was an interesting weekend. And I'm not going to like completely kill his career before it even starts. But he played 22 minutes in his one game, 4 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 for 9 from the field. Now, a lot of those shots, he got, you know, he looked like a natural player, looked like a solid, you know, NBA role player. And so it was some of the shots he got up, but he was not efficient, and he didn't really affect the game very much in his 22 minutes.
He did not. We've all got to relax with Bronny, specifically the media, to be quite honest. Like, I got a notification when Bronny scored his first bucket, and no offense to Bronny, I'm rooting for the kid. I think all this attention surrounding him, he is undeserved toward him. He didn't ask for it. But I don't need that notification. It's ridiculous that we're doing this.
He had 4 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists.
In the NBA draft. I think we also need to remember that this kid, a year ago, had cardiac arrest during practice and almost died. So let's give him a little bit of time to make an adjustment to the NBA Summer League. He is not going to be a serious rotation player for the Los Angeles Lakers. And if he is, other things have gone horrendously wrong.
Yes.
For that team. Dalton Knecht, I am far more interested in because he is someone that can come in and make an impact for that Lakers team immediately. Bronny is going to have growing pains. He was not ready for the NBA. It is why all of us said he shouldn't have been in the NBA draft, but he got drafted because of his name. That is totally fine. Like, is how it happened. Nepotism has been in the NBA and in sports.
In sports forever.
Since the day it began.
Yeah.
But this whole, we have to do a pick apart his game every single time. Why? It's ridiculous. It's pointless. He's not going to be an effective NBA player next year. I think he has the tools to maybe turn into that one day, but he's not ready. So he's going to struggle against NBA-like players.
What is nice, I'm not going to say nice, but what is the positive side of this thing that you have to view for Bronny is he's getting his first taste of what it's going to be like every time he steps on an NBA floor, whether it's summer league or regular.
It's okay to
understand the amount of scrutiny he will be under every step of the way. Even if he becomes a solid role player that we accept in the NBA, he's still going to come under that microscope. I think this is his first look at what that's going to be like.
Right.
The NBA draft process is one thing, right? Because people can say what they want to say about you, but you're not actually playing games. When you start playing games, maybe underperforming, a lot of that stuff falls right in your lap, and you're going to have to understand throughout your entire career, wherever you're playing, you're going to have to understand that's how it's going to be for you.
He is also playing people who are fighting for their NBA lives.
Yes.
It's a different ball game than he is used to. College versus NBA, Summer League, it's completely different because you are playing people now, grown-ass men, who are playing for their NBA lives and opportunities. Bronny, he knows that he's going to be safe. He signed a 4-year deal. He's going to be in the league next year, even if he has a horrendous summer league. But he's playing against people who are fighting for their lives, and it's going to be difficult for him. And that's why, though, I'm not subscribing to overreacting to every single Bronny game, because that's exactly how I expected him to play.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, yeah, Bronny struggled in his first game.
He had 4 points, yeah.
The sun is also in the sky, and the sky is blue.
100%.
You want to tell me 100%. Something else I didn't know?
100%, but I can guarantee every single minute he plays for the Lakers summer league team will be scrutinized. But he did not play the second game, and people wanted to get on his behind about that.
Well, let's be honest about it. He probably got scrutinized a ton after one game, so they're probably like, let's sit this one out, dog.
Knee swelling. Why do you want him to play it?
Do we believe his knee was actually swelling?
I don't care, to be honest with you. I really don't care.
I'm about
if it was, why would he play?
The Lakers, the Lakers need to shut up. Stop saying he earned his way. Stop saying all that stuff. You are setting him up for criticism. You are not helping Bronny. They need to try to make it a non-story. Stop talking about him. Stop bringing him up. Stop saying he earned his way. None of that is true. Let's be honest about
it. I got news for you, though, Connor.
He signed a 4-year deal.
The Lakers can say whatever.
He is LeBron's kid, and that's okay.
The Lakers and everybody else, they can say whatever they want about Bronny. They could even come out and say, yeah, he got this because LeBron forced our hand. But, you know, people would be happy with that admission. All this scrutiny, it's not going to become a non-story. It will always be a story.
What I'm saying is that they are pouring fuel onto the fire by saying he earned his way to the NBA.
Yeah.
No, he didn't. And that's okay to say.
Yeah.
We can be honest about it.
I hear it. But even if they didn't say that, I mean, they sort of have to say it.
No, they don't. They don't have to say that.
Are you just like a non-answer? Is that what you would rather have from them?
Just say Bronny is a part of our team.
It's still going to be scrutinized, but
even with
that, still crazy scrutiny, still always going to be that way.
They're giving bait, but they're baiting
people.
Yeah. Stop throwing chum into the water.
Yeah, I hear you. That's true. Now, let's go ahead and grab our first break of the day, and when we come back, I will have a nice conversation with one of my former teammates, Alan Cross. I know he's remembered very well around here for what he did as a tight end and an H-back for us back in the day, but Alan Cross will join next.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now back to the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Connor, thank you. Beautiful lead-in music for our next guest. That would be Alan Cross, former tight end H-back here at the University of Memphis, turned pro, went to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He's been coaching ever since. He's got a camp coming up. I'll give you the details on that in just a moment. You can follow him on X, though, at Alan Cross, _, so 2 underscores following Alan Cross. Alan, what's happening, brother? How are you?
Man, doing good, Gabe. Brother, how are you?
I'm doing well, and happy belated, by the way. Happy belated.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. Just another day. Once you get past 30, it's just another day.
No, I hear you. So we have this camp coming up on July 20th. I wanted to get ahead of this. We have the Alan Cross football camp coming up, 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. at Bartlett High School. Let people know the details and how they can sign up.
So right when you get there, go to the home side. So if you're facing the back of the school, is the parking lot to the right, the home side of the stadium. That's where we're going to park. That's where we're going to come in at. You're going to register when you get there. First 50 kids are free. It's K through 8th grade. So all those ages, obviously no high school, things of that nature. But at the end of the day, you just sign up when you get there. We'll give you a camp shirt. Sign-ups are from 9 to 10. Right after that, we're rolling to 11:30.
Yep, I hear you. Now, you've been doing some coaching and some skills training along the way. Let my listeners know. They have followed you up until the pro career ended with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. What have you been doing since then? I know you've been coaching at Coahoma. Yeah, you did some work at the University of Memphis. But let my listeners know where life has carried you since then.
So it's carried me back home. I'm at Bartlett High School right now. I'm going to teach a little chemistry up there, and I'm going to be the head freshman coach for the time being, helping with the O-line and tight ends and seeing if we can't get this thing rolling, helping Chris Smith. And he's been around for a while. He's been the head coach at Dermantown and Haywood. So that's where I'm at right now for the time being, brother.
Yep. Now, but before that, I mean, some JUCO time, some Division One time. There was a lot of different stuff.
So right when I retired, I came back and worked with Norvell. I was Ron Sorrentino's GA at the time. I was there. That was 2019, and then that was the year we went to the Cotton Bowl. Came back in 2021, working under Anthony Jones as a running backs QC. Shout out to him out at USC right now. And then bounced around a little bit. Went to Coahoma. Went to the JUCO ranks for 2 years. Last year I was the OC. Called it for him. We always want to win more games, but yeah, it is what it is. And then I went down to Naples, Florida for the time being. I had to come back home, and now I'm here, brother.
What do you think about the college coaching thing, like schedule and everything else?
Man, it's not bad, to be honest with you. You just got to get with the right person. And I thought Norvell, we spent, obviously you got, you know, some guys that want to spend a lot of time up there and things of that nature. But, I mean, he studied the most tape out of anybody I've ever been around, to be honest with you. And there's a rhyme or reason where he's at right now. But, you know, some of the coaches were like, yeah, you know, hey, it's probably time to go around, you know, 10 o'clock, things of that nature. But other than that, brothers, ball is ball, ball is life. That's all we know, right?
Yeah, no, 100%. And Noah trips me out still looking back at this, and every time I have one of my former teammates on, I talk about this. The amount of coaching talent we were around through those days leading up to when Norvell left as well, and now you have Silverfield in there. Like, we had Ryan Walters, who's coaching at Purdue.
Yep.
Barry Odom, who's now coaching at UNLV. Fuente, of course.
Sure.
And then through Norvell, it was, I mean, Dillingham at ASU. It's crazy. The amount of guys that have come through. Memphis has almost been I hate to do the stepping stone thing, but there's been a lot of coaches that have gotten their jobs and made sort of their mark here at Memphis before they went on to bigger and better things.
Man, they definitely did. And obviously Fuente coming from Gary Patterson and things of that nature, and you know, Norvell coming from Todd Graham. Them old cats, you know, taught them a few things. And like you said, you hate to say it, but they've definitely used it as a stepping stone. But it is what it is. I mean, obviously, bigger and better jobs come about. Money talks, right?
Yep, for sure. Now, holler at me about your time with the Bucks and how that all went. I know you were sticking around. And what caused retirement? What made you move on?
So, basically, I always tell people the NFL doesn't stand for National Football League. It stands for not for long. And to be honest with you, Gabe, you know, I never really dreamed of playing in the NFL growing up. It kind of just happened, to be honest with you. You know, I got a chemistry degree. I planned on doing what I'm actually doing right now out of college. And an agent called me. We got hooked up with her and so on and so forth. The Bucks signed me after, you know, the last round, and went down there and made the team. And I was there for 3 years. To be honest with you, that last year, you know, I was kind of a little homesick, things of that nature. And, I mean, like I said, I never dreamed of playing. I could retire. And I said, well, they got to pay me one day eventually, so I might as well go ahead and start something else and retire. So.
Yeah, I hear you. But, like, how was the process getting into there? How was the process getting to the Bucks? Did you have to do the rookie minicamp and then ultimately get signed? Because that was something I did. I obviously didn't get signed from the Saints. But, that man, it's a crazy grind. And the amount of good impressions you have to make on those coaches along the way is crazy.
Man, you definitely said it. You hit it on the head with that last aspect of the impression. Because I remember when I retired, Jason Light, the GM, was like, Dirk Cutter came in and said, man, we're going to have to keep this guy named Honcho. You know, he's a locker room guy. And the main thing that he said was the locker room aspect. You know, I kind of gelled with the D-line, with the O-line. I mean, you know me.
Yeah, for sure.
Around locker to locker.
And that's how it was at Memphis.
That's how I was in Memphis, and that's all I did was just take, you know, the things that obviously Fuente and Vice and Chibas and all of them bestowed to me football-wise, and just obviously being the goofy guy I am, and it kind of just stuck. It really did help, to be honest with you. It was definitely a process of impressing, you know, trying to – literally in my mind, I was like, I got to impress the chef. I got to impress the equipment guy. You know, it's just all the impressions, like you're saying, it weighed heavy on the aspect of making the team.
Yeah, now some of your teammates there, you played with Mike Evans, you played with a lot of really good players. I have to focus on this one. Tell me about Jameis Winston, because I think he's got there's this view, man, of him and how goofy he is, eating the W and all these different things. But, like, is that exactly what he's like behind the scenes?
That's exactly what he's like behind the scenes. But, I mean, he's definitely somebody you want in your corner, somebody you want, you know, to be your leader as goofy he may seem, he's still just as serious. I remember all three of my years, he was the first person after warm-ups. You know, when you go out as a full team and pads, the first warm-up session, coming back in, he was the first guy for literally 3 years, every single game I played, to slap everybody's hand, including the coaches, the owners, and everybody. So when it's time to go, you know, he definitely shows up as goofy as he may portray himself to be.
Yeah, no, I know that I probably should know this off the top. Were you there for the 30 for 30 year
for him? No, I wasn't, brother.
Okay,
I was there for the short film. Yeah, I wasn't there for the short film. I believe that was after I left, to be honest with you, when Bruce Sands got there. So I was like, yeah, if you just don't have the picks, you might have won the Super Bowl that year, bro. But made a short film on.
That's the one thing, though, about him, man. He's the talent-wise, I remember him at Florida State and him coming out. Like, it's just like the expectation that was placed on his shoulders, I felt like he delivered for the most part. It's just those interceptions, man. And how much of it, because this was always an off-season conversation, it was about the glasses and his eyesight.
I feel like he kind of wasn't really blind, you know what I'm saying? I think he just kind of put on a show a little bit, but I don't know. I think he might have got LASIK. I don't know, bro.
Yeah, no, I got you. I got you. Talking with Alan Cross, former Memphis Tiger, playing tight end and H-back for them. What was that role like, too, by the way, playing sort of fullback? Because fullbacks, I think it's coming back a little bit, right?
Yeah, it is, and it kind of – they always carry 21 personnel in some aspect in the NFL. That just is what it is, you know, old school ISO and things of that nature. You still got to have that a little bit in the league. But, no, my head still hurts. I ain't going to lie, bro.
football's so cyclical that way, though, right, with, like, fullbacks coming back and having all – like, he's even the Chiefs who won last year. The reason that they did it is defense, and they were able to run the ball. They have a good O-line. Isaiah Pacheco was running that thing. Like, it's cyclical in the point where – you know, we went through this time where it's just air the ball out, do these types of things. And now you even see the college game. Michigan just won. Georgia won the two before that. You have to be able to really establish that.
No doubt. And, I mean, when Monk was there, Monk was the one calling it. When they stayed in 12-personnel the whole game, they can line up in a 10-personnel set and also get back into a 12-personnel set. So I thought he could have done a good job just mentioning Georgia like that. And he's definitely took the, because he was my OC at the time in Tampa, and he definitely took that aspect of what you're saying, just bring it back to run the football. At the end of the day, it's going to win you ball games.
All right, now this is a real question. You train all skill positions. You've coached all skill positions. You coach O-line as well. What's your favorite position to coach?
Man, you know I got to go back to the tight ends running that split zone, baby. Go ahead and run through a glass window. But no, I like O-line. All the, you know, Coach Zerfoot, everything that I learned with O-line, I learned from him, you know, because I was never with you guys with Vice and stuff, so. When I got back, I studied under him, and he really taught me a lot, all the intricate details of, you know, 45-degree step, using the flipper technique, things of that nature that I really didn't use as a tight end, to be honest with you, because I was really by myself a lot of times.
Yeah, and then you say you got the freshman at Bartlett this year.
Yeah, man, so we're definitely going to be rolling a little bit. We got some really good skill guys. I'm excited, man. I really am.
Yeah, so you're going to be doing work with some varsity as well, right? I would say game days.
Yep. So me and the head man, we're going to be doing the box together, O-line and tight ends. I'm basically just learning everything, all of his, his terminologies and things like that. And he's, to be honest, Gabe, he's just like, you know, Coach Norvell. They play together at UCA, so he's just as intricate when it pertains to, you know, don't step behind yourself. Obviously, things that you've heard before, but he goes in more in depth with it. Some things I've never even heard before. So I'm learning a lot from him at the end of the day.
Yep. Now, the Alan Cross football camp will be coming up next weekend, July 20th. Kindergarten through eighth grade, all invited. $20 entry fee. It looks like first 50 may be free, but it'll be at Bartlett High School. How many signups are you trying to get?
Man, I'm trying to get obviously more than 50, but the first 50 are free. It's legit. First 50 to get there, they get a free T-shirt. They're getting them for free. I'm obviously more than 50, 100, you know, obviously is a dream goal, but starting, you know, start small and then work to the big.
Yeah, and then also one more thing, just sort of house cleaning things. If they want to sign up before they get there the day of on July 20th, is there any way to go about that, and where would payment be sent?
Man, so I'm just going to do it at the gate. As soon as you get there, let's go ahead and sign up. I'm going to have a sign-up sheet, a whole harmless form. It'll take 2 seconds to fill it out, you know, name, where your school is, emergency contact, things of that nature, and slide on down the table. So it's
no limits, no denials at the door, nothing like that.
Nothing like that, man. The whole city can come, to be honest with you. But payment-wise, obviously cash. We're going to Venmo and Cash App, no checks.
Okay, and if you need an extra coach, you know I'm there.
Hey, I know. Hey,
I'm pulling up regardless. But if you need some on-field instruction, I still got a little bit in the tank.
Come on, baby. Shoochie's going to be there.
I don't just talk trash on all athletes now because I'm in this role. I'll get out there, help some people along.
Come on, brother.
Yes, sir.
Come
but, on, Alan, bro. I appreciate it, man. Great stuff.
Man, I appreciate it. I'll see you soon, brother.
Yes, sir. See you soon. That's Alan Cross. Make sure if you have a kid, kindergarten through eighth grade, pull up at Bartlett High School coming up 9 a.m. On July 20th, next Saturday. Looks like it's $20 entry fee, and he'll allow some guys in free, man. One of the things that I didn't need to ask Alan that a lot of people, they said, do you still hit yourself in the head with the helmet to get your kids going? No, I don't think he does that anymore. He said his head hurts a little too much from those fullback days with the Bucks. I don't know. I don't know if he can do that anymore.
It's more difficult to do that the older we get.
And he was always in the thick of things, man, in college. Like he did get along with everybody on the team. That's probably what helped him with the getting on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But if you'll remember, even with the Miami Beach Bowl brawl, he was right there in the thick of things, buddy.
I will never ever forget that brawl. No, he was a fan favorite when he was at Memphis. That's why when he ended up with the Bucks and he had some staying, I was like, hell yeah, dude, that's awesome.
And, it just didn't surprise me. I know that he was not like a guy who was like supposed to be drafted or really even be an undrafted free agent, but it didn't surprise me because this dude is a guy who just had good impressions with everybody he's around. He's a great guy, but I appreciate Alan carving out some time. We may talk a little bit next week before the camp comes up, get people ready for that as well. But let's go ahead and grab a break and hop into hour number two. And starting up hour number two, we're going to transition from Alan Cross to David Cobb from CBS Sports. He's next.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This season, Instacart has your back to school. As in, they've got your back to school lunch favorites like snack packs and fresh fruit. And they've got your back to school supplies like backpacks, binders, and pencils. And they've got your back when your kid casually tells you they have a huge school project due tomorrow. Let's face it, we were all that kid. So first, call your parents to say, I'm sorry. And then download the Instacart app to get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes all school year long. Get a $0 delivery fee for your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
A Kings Island Gold Pass is your ticket to unlimited visits this year and all through 2025. Make the park your own with access to 2 years of tricks and treats, Halloween Haunt, and Winterfest. Plus an expanded Soak City featuring the all-new dual racing water coaster River Racers coming in 2025. All for our lowest price of the season. Just 10 payments of $9 after initial payment plus applicable taxes and fees. Hurry, price goes up September 3rd. Get your gold pass at visitkingsisland.com.
With the helmet to get your kids going. No, I don't think he does that anymore. He said his head hurts a little too much from those fullback days with the Bucks. I don't know if he can do that anymore.
It's more difficult to do that the older we get.
And he was always in the thick of things, man, in college. Like he did get along with everybody on the team. That's probably what helped him with the getting on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But if you'll remember, even with the Miami Beach Bowl brawl, He was right there in the thick of things, buddy.
I will never forget that. I will never, ever forget that brawl. No, he was a fan favorite when he was at Memphis. That's why when he ended up with the Bucks and he had some staying, I was like, hell yeah, dude. That's awesome.
And, you know, it just didn't surprise me. I know that he was not like a guy who was like supposed to be drafted or really even be an undrafted free agent, but it didn't surprise me because this dude is a guy who just has good impressions with everybody he's around. He's a great guy, but I appreciate Alan carving out some time. We may talk a little bit next week before the camp comes up, get people ready for that as well. But let's go ahead and grab a break and hop into hour number two. And starting up hour number two, we're going to transition from Alan Cross to David Cobb from CBS Sports. He's next.
A Kings Island Gold Pass is your ticket to unlimited visits this year and all through 2025. Make the park your own with access to 2 years of tricks and treats, Halloween Haunt, and Winterfest. Plus, an expanded Soak City featuring the all-new dual racing water coaster River Racers coming in 2025. All for our lowest price of the season. Just 10 payments of $9 after initial payment plus applicable taxes and fees. Hurry, price goes up September 3rd. Get your Gold Pass at visitkingsisland.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.